really excited about this new series that we're going in. We're going to be in it for 3 weeks. We're going to wrap up this series, I Heart Venice, with our big Sunday outreach that we've got going on. But I want to start this morning, kind of have a little contest here. So I'm going to group you into your rows and who you're around or your posse that you came here with. And I'm going to show you a neighbor, a famous neighbor television, and you have to guess who they're a neighbor to, all right? And if you lose, you buy lunch for everybody in your row today, okay? So be on guard. And just shout it out when you got it. All right, Fred and Ethel live next to who? Just Lucy, was she not married? And Ricky. All right, Barney and Betty Rubble. Okay, you got that. That was easy. How about this one? Tom and Helen Willis. George and Wheezy. That was good. Okay, Kramer. Easy. Urkel. Winslow's. Thank you. Somebody said Seinfeld, I heard over here. Oh, okay. Yes, Urkel was next to the Winslow. All right, how about this one? Ned Flanders. Homer. And my favorite, Squidward Tentacles. SpongeBob SquarePants, one of the best cartoons of all times. So I think most of us are pretty good when it comes to famous neighbors. And we kind of go, okay, that's easy. I know all these famous neighbors. But here's where we want to look at today. How do we fare when it comes to our own neighbors? So you were handed one of these when you came in this morning. Go ahead and pull that out. And you could do this as a couple or as a family, or if you came individually, do it individually. But what I want you to do right now is within where you live, the eightest closest residents to you. I want to see, do you know their names? We've got stuff, facts about them, some things, maybe their kids' names, whatever you know about your neighbors. See how many you can fill out. I'm going to give you a little music. We're going to give you about 60 seconds for this. And the music is very appropriate for what we're doing right now. Ready, set, go. Fill it out. Isn't that nice? Just makes me want to wear a cardigan. This right here is worth you coming to church for today, just to hear
this. It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? It's a neighborly day in this beauty wood, a neighborly day for a beauty. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? I have always wanted to have a neighbor just like you. I've always wanted to live in a neighborhood.
How many of you feel better right now just about your
day? Let's make the most of this beautiful day. Since we're together, we might as well say, would you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor?
Okay, that's good. That's good right there. All right, how did you do? Did anybody get all eight? You good? Yeah, social butterflies. That's good. I think most of us really probably do okay in this. Like maybe we get about five or somewhere around there. I know, and I've, just being honest, I know less neighbors in my life right now than at any other point in the history of my life. And that hit me this week when I was about to test you. I was testing myself going, what's up? You know? Because we live on a road that's just a lot of traffic and road, and there's no, like when you live in a cul-de-sac, sometimes it's easier, right? Or maybe you're new to the area, and so you might not have as many. But that's what we want to focus on is how do we get to know and bless our neighbors? And not just where we live, but where we live, where we work, and where we play to be a blessing to them. This is something that God has called us to do because he modeled it. He came into our lives, our world, our neighborhood, so to speak, and lived amongst us for the purpose of blessing. Look at the passage here. It's our series theme verse, John chapter 1, verse 14. Reading this out of the message, I like how it paraphrases this passage here. It says, the word became flesh. When it says the word, it's talking about, it's one of the words for Jesus. It's a Greek word, logos. And so when Jesus, God, he became flesh, he came to earth, flesh and blood, and moved into the neighborhood. I like how that sounds. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one-of-a-kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish. So Jesus became one of us. He came into our world. And if you think about it contextually, the backdrop of when he came into our world, when God became flesh, that was a little over 2,000 years ago at the time of Rome. And that was a brutal environment at this time. And the message that he came and brought, what he taught, it was something not even heard of or thought of. He taught total equality. And so he began to teach about how there should be no separation, for example, between races, or there's not one class of people. And their economics is greater than this one, and so they're better. There was total equality for men and women. He was preaching and teaching this inclusive message before it was ever even an idea, let alone popular. It wasn't like in today's culture where, you know, we want to hear everybody's ideas and respect the different, because we respect other people's thoughts really well today, don't we? Yeah. So he comes into this culture that was very aggressive, very hostile towards new ways of thinking, very built on a class system, and he begins to speak and to bless people. Wherever he went, he had the intention, as you read the Gospels, he went with blessing humanity in mind. Whether it was having meals with them, whether that was healing, whether it was teaching and raising up their value and who they were in their life, but he went with the intention of blessing. And he said to his disciples, this, what I'm doing, what you've seen me do, come into your world and bless. He goes, now that's exactly what I'm calling you to do, is to send you out there with an intention of being blessed. So the peace that we have received from God, or the mercy or whatever else that we've received from God, he says, I'm sending you now to bless. In fact, why don't you pull out your outline or pull it up digitally and write this down, because if we're going to be a blessing to our city, whether it's our neighborhood that you live in or to our city at large, we're going to have to understand this. We are sent people. Everybody say sent. We are sent people to bless people where we live, work, and play. That's who we are. We are sent people to bless people where we live, work, and play. And so we've gone over some of this in our growth track, but I believe it bears repeating, because I want to know not just how to understand what we're talking about conceptually, but how does this live out? How do I really bless my community? And if you're not a Jesus follower and you're here just kind of checking this whole thing out, it's a good Sunday for you to be here, because you get to kind of hear what should a Christian be doing? How ought we to be living as Jesus followers? And so I'm glad you're here for that. And if you are a Christian, if you are a Jesus follower, you are a sent person. You are a sent person. So let's look at this from the words of Jesus, Matthew chapter 28. This is what he said. He's talking to his first century followers, this first group that he had. And he's about to leave. He knows that. The day of his departure is coming. And he speaks to them and says, this is what you're going to do with what we've just experienced these last 3 years. He came and he told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations. All the nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So you notice that promise where he says, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. He wants them to know that. Look, I'm not sending you off on your own. I'm with you. But I'm with you as you go. Not as you just stay and take care of your life and your world, but as you understand that you are a sent person. Because this message, this vision, this mission, this commission that he's given here, it's as applicable for us today as Jesus' followers as it was for his posse back then that he first had. He's saying, all right, you've received this now. And all authority has been given unto me. And so I'm telling you, go. Go as my ambassadors. Go to your city. Go to your state. Go to all the earth. Make disciples. Share the gospel. And as you go, not as you stay and consume, but as you go, as you are sent, I am with you. You don't have to, I am with you as you are sent. And this is why, from this verse, we have our mission statement here at Adventist Church. This is who we are. This is what we're really all about. In fact, let's say it together. We got it up here? Adventist Church is, say it with me, people helping people find and follow Jesus. So it's not just, because it used to be helping people find and follow Jesus. And then we all thought about it. It was like, wait, really it's not just the church, it's people helping people find and follow Jesus. That is what we are all about. So, as Jesus followers, we are sent people to bless people, right? And as I mentioned, that's not just folks in our living area, but it's in our where we live, where we work, and where we play. Sociologists call that first place, second place, and third place spaces. So your first place is where your home is. Second place, you spend 40, 50 hours a week at. It's your work. You got coworkers there. Those are neighbors. And the third place, that space there, is where you play. It's like maybe anybody have a restaurant you go to and they already know what you like to eat and they call you by name, or that might be a place where you hang out. If that place is Taco Bell, you need some help. Hopefully it's not Taco Bell. If you have a certain coffee shop, maybe you got a barber shop that you go to, or a gym that you're at, and you know people in there and you see them. And so there's places where we live, where we work, and where we play. All of those are important. Because God's strategy for the church was to send us out into those regions, those places, those spaces that we inhabit with other people and bless them. Sent people ready to bless. That's why he has blessed us. And some people may feel like, because I always feel a pushback when I'm talking on something like this, of, Mark, I have nothing to give. That might be because you keep thinking that way, that it continues to be your story. Because what the scriptures teach, what Jesus taught us was that in the measure you give, it is given back to you. And even more, it's pressed down, running over. And so even if you feel you only have this much measure to give, but see, we all have something. You have time to give, you have passion. You have talents, right? You have emotion. You have ears to listen. You have something to give. And in the measure we give, it comes back to us. So if you've received, I mean, aren't you glad that God unconditionally loves you? That's kind of a big one for me because of that first word, unconditionally. That's a crazy thought, but it's true. I've tested it. He unconditionally loves us. And because of being blessed with that, now we're called to unconditionally love others. Right, so we go out with that. Because I've been forgiven, I now to go out and bless other people with forgiveness, whatever that is. His joy that he's blessed me with, then we get to go out and bring it to other people. There is nothing. In fact, I have it on the screen because I want us to see this. There is nothing in your life that God has blessed you with that he doesn't intend you to share with others. I want you to think about that. Let that stay up there just for a second. Nothing, nothing in your life, our talents, again, our giftings, our personality, our time, nothing that has come to me, that is a part of me, look, that is just for me. And so we attack that all the time, that paradigm of what comes to me is for me. It's not true. As Jesus followers, we are conduits of his blessing. And look, when you see life this way, it's a game changer. It'll change everything about your experience in life. When you see that what comes to me is not just for me, but I'm called to be a blessing, and I'm called to be a conduit, a conductor of his blessing, not a grounder of his blessing, but a conduit of his blessing, it changes everything. I was thinking about this, pardon me, we were, got that thing going on. We were up in Big Bear. We went to Big Bear this week and to Pismo. We had a super time. When we were up at Big Bear, Marinelle, it seemed like every time she got in the car or was doing anything, she'd do this, and she kept shocking herself, touching a doorknob or touching a door handle or touching me. She kept shocking herself. And she said she thought it was because the dry air up there, it's more conducive to that, you know, static electricity. And I'm like, no, babe, I'm not surprised because you have been supercharging my life every day. Needless to say, we had a good vacation. I didn't really say that. But do you remember doing that as a kid where you like get your shoes and you rub your shoes against the carpet or something like that, then walk up to somebody and shock them? How many of you done that? How many still do that? Say, Mark, that didn't go away with childhood. That is really fun to do, right? And so it's that static electricity buildup, and it's got to be released. It's like, go, psh. I was thinking about that with how God has called us to live. In fact, there's a passage in the book of Ephesians. The Apostle Paul wrote it, and he was talking about how we clothe ourselves with Christ, with God. You know, that we have our breast is covered with righteousness and faith, but our shoes, it says here, Ephesians 6:15, it says, for shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. So it's like your feet are rubbing in the good news. And which is peace, which is mercy, which is good. All the things that the gospel is, my feet are shod with that. It's like rubbing so that now I can go out about my day and shock people. And I don't mean like shock them. I mean like when they see that you forgive even before they ask for forgiveness, it's shocking. When they see kindness, when there should have been anger, it's shocking to people. When they see that kind of love, when they see that you don't participate in the slander because it's hurting somebody, but you're there for the broken, you're trying to help them up. Look, in our culture today, that kind of kindness and mercy and goodness and generosity and just loving and blessing, it shocks people. And we need to be shocking people in our personal lives and in our community. I want our community shocked. I want Venice shocked to say, what? Why? Who? What? You know, what do you want in return? Nothing. Just we want to bless. And if we can do that as a church and if we can do that individually, I think we will have done our best to carry this baton that's been passed to us by those who went before us in this mission of what Christ has given us to. So leads us to a couple questions I want to ask during this series that we're in. Number one, what if every church blessed every city? I mean, think about that. Think about how that would be. If every church, how might the reputation of Christians be different if the church really saw that part of their main mission was to actually really bless their city that they lived in, and every church did that? I think people would take notice. I do. I think people who don't even believe the message of God or believe in God, they may think, I don't agree with them and what they're all about, but I'm sure glad they're in our city. You know, we're a better city because of these churches. So that's one. But here's the second question. What if every Christian blessed every neighbor? So we didn't just do it on a macro level, like an organization level. Like, yes, Mark, Venice Church needs to bless the community, right? And that's cool, and that's good because organizationally, as a church, as a community of believers, we need to do that, and we're trying to do that. We want to do so much better at it. But just so you know, we do have those relationships with our community. Our facilities are open to different schools and different groups that come in and use it. We go out and help them. So this is an ongoing thing. We want to do more. We want to go deeper. But it's just not a macro level. It's true at an organizational level, Venice Church. But it's also true at a micro level where it's, what if every Christian saw their main mission in life, that I am a sent person where I live, where I work, and where I play? Sharing the gospel is not something that I do when I'm feeling spiritual, or when there's a special event at the church that comes up and maybe I'll invite, but it's not something for paid staff or salary to do. It's what if every Christian saw themselves, every Jesus follower, and again, if you're not, again, I'm glad you're here, but speaking to the church right now, do you see yourself as a sent person every day in order to bless by sharing the gospel? And by sharing the gospel, I'm not saying go into your workplace and start preaching. In fact, I'm suggesting you don't do that. What I'm saying is what Francis of Assisi said, preach the gospel at all times, and only when necessary, use words. So live it. Live it out. But at least for me, the only way I can really do that is when I'm intentional about it. And I get myself ready in the morning to say, all right, God, let's giddy up. What are we doing today? And that's what I want to look at as we turn the corner for this message. And in fact, let me, a little side note. One of the ways we're going to do it different this year as a church is we have this neighborhood around us right here. And Mary Nell and I walk this neighborhood all the time. And we want to clean all these alleys out. And so we're going to get teams of people together for that Sunday workday, and we're going to go on there with weed whackers and blowers and rakes and paint over graffiti and just bless our neighborhood right here with our I Heart Venice shirts on. So if you haven't signed up for a team, that's one you can sign up for right there and join us doing that kind of a project. All right, how does this look like? Because we want to bless people, right? Individuals, workers, neighbors. But what does that look like? Because we don't just like, well, I bless you. If somebody comes up to you and says, I bless you, isn't that weird? That's a little weird, right? Who are you, God? What do you mean you bless me? I bless you. So what does it mean to actually bless somebody? Glad you asked. Bless stands for five simple rhythms to share Jesus. So I'm going to give you just an overview today. And we're going to look in these a little more succinctly in the future. How do we bless people where we live, work, and play? And again, it's a rhythm of living. It's not an event. It's just a way that we live. B, begin in prayer. You have a resource to use this one with. I'm going to go over in just a moment. But we want to begin in prayer, praying for our neighbors. Praying for our coworkers. L, listen. Why is this important? Because every person you know is looking for somebody who cares enough to listen to them. I promise you that. They want to hear their hopes, to hear their fears, to hear their desires, to hear what's going on in their lives. That's a great demonstration of blessing somebody by listening to them. E, this is the fun one. This is eat. Eat. Eating is a spiritual practice. It really is. I am not talking about eating a big bag of Doritos and a half gallon of ice cream by yourself. That is a cry for help, if that is you. I am talking about sharing a meal with people and getting to know them and having the conversation go from surface down a little bit deeper and having some talks. And it's a spiritual practice. Christ modeled it wonderfully. S, the first S is serve. So like I said, we're going to do it in a big way as a church on that Sunday, but we do it on a micro level where we serve. Did you know that you're never more like Jesus than when you are serving other people? And so one of the ways that we bless is to serve in our neighborhoods and our coworkers, to serve. And then the last one is story, being able to share your story and the gospel story. And the truth is, if you have prayed for them and listened to them and ate with them and served with them, I promise you, there's going to be very normal opportunities for you to be able to share your story with them. Problem is, in the church, or a lot of Christians, they lead with share their story, right? Before they've ever taken the time to actually love on people. And by the way, people, those who may not know the glorious gospel yet or know God, in that way, they're not an agenda. They're not like, I got to get them saved, right? So you're trying to force a conversation and get Jesus. It's not a Jesus pyramid thing. where you're trying to build your under team, you know, and you got to get people into it. If you treat somebody like they're an agenda to get them saved, they're going to feel like an agenda. They're human beings. God loves them as much as he loves you. We want to have friends and hopefully have an opportunity after we've blessed them, because we see our lives on mission as sent ones, then we have an opportunity to share our story. So as we close up today, I just want to take like 2 minutes and talk real briefly about prayer. Okay, begin with prayer. Write this down. Prayer is both how we discover our mission and how we do our mission. It's how we become aware and it's how we become ready to merge with what God is doing that day in your life. I believe that God has divine God appointments, God opportunities for us every day. We just miss them because we're not intentionally living as sent people. Would you don't raise your hand, but wouldn't you agree? I mean, most of the day we just get up, we do our thing, we get on, check our email, maybe thank, get on Facebook, do whatever, watch the news, get our coffee, and boom, we're off and we're running. And, you know, if we need God for something, we might, you know, check in with him or something like that. But most of the day, we're just kind of doing life. We're on autopilot, and we just do our job. And I get that. I'm in the ministry, for Pete's sake, and I can do that. So I get that. But when you start your day with prayer, and you sit down and you say, okay, God, let's do this today. Lord, help me to see what you're doing. Lord, help me. I am sent today into my workplace, to my neighborhood, wherever else, and I'm sent to be a blessing. Help me to bless somebody today. Lord, help me to be a blessing. What that does is that just changes your perspective and your reason for your day. So I'm going to encourage you every day this week, just do it. If this is not a habit of yours, try it every day this week. Say, I'm going to begin my day in prayer. And just very simple prayers. So, in fact, look at this scripture here, John 5:17. Jesus replies, says, my Father is always working, and so am I. That I take that to heart because I know this. God is at work in your workplace. He's doing things in people's lives that you're unaware of because he cares about them. He loves them. And in your neighborhood. And so if we're ready to listen and pay attention to what he's doing, we can merge with what he's already at work on doing in somebody's life instead of even trying to create it. We're just posturing ourselves in a position to say, Lord, who are you working on? He might put somebody on your heart in that prayer time in the morning from work or whatever, and you send them an email. Life gets exciting, really, Christianity, when we live on mission. So write this prayer down. This is the one you're going to be praying. God, pardon me. God, where are you already working where I live, work, and play, and how do I join you? I just want to know, where are you already working? You know, what are you doing? And then we merge with him. Here's a way, see this thing? On the backside, it's called bless. And this is how you can do this week. I want to just give you this practical before we close it up. This is how you can pray for your neighbors, again, where you live, work, and play. You could pray for their body, pray for their health, their protection. Pray for their work, the labor of their hands. Emotionally, pray for their emotional health, the quality of life, for joy. You may know neighbors that are going through a divorce or something's going on with your kids. Social, for their relationships with their families and friends. Spiritual, for their salvation, that they will come to faith in Jesus Christ. So take this home with you. Put it on your refrigerator, put it on your breakfast table, whatever you have. And before you leave and just go on autopilot for the day, maybe stop and just pray for a couple of people, maybe in your workplace or in your neighborhood or whatever. And that's beginning in prayer. And then we can go on with these other ones that we're going to talk about. How do I practically do this? Listen and eat and serve and share. And let's see some great things happen this month. This month, as a month of change, as I become aware that I live my life as a sent person. Last year, we had 200 people. Over 200 people, which was so good for a church our size. We had over 200 people serving a total of over 700 hours in our city. That was stellar. I was so happy about that. Yeah, absolutely. That was great. This year, I want to knock that out of the park. And that's why I'm saying, again, if you've been here for, if this is your first Sunday, be a part. Be a part of it. You guys might be here and you're thinking, I've got friends, I can't get them to come to church. But they may do something like a serve day. They dig that. They may be interested in that. Bring them and help bless the community. Across our network last year, we had over 4,000 volunteers and had a total of over 17,000 hours put in across the different cities that we did in our East Lake network. I was super stoked about that. So invite your neighbors, invite your friends. Let's do this together. And let's pray right now. I'm going to ask the band to come on back up. We're going to close with a wonderful song called The World Needs Jesus. And just sit down through this song. We're going to dismiss right afterwards. And think about it. Not only what we're going to do at the end of this month, but where he's positioned you, the neighborhood that you're in. Do I know my neighbors? Maybe I could take this month and say, I'm going to be more intentional about that, getting to know them. Maybe throw a block party. You got people coming over to your house for Halloween. They're coming to you this month. You know, get to know them. And Lord, am I living on mission? If not, I'm going to try to do that this week. So let's pray right now together. Lord, we thank you. Thank you that every good and perfect gift in my life has come from you. And you have blessed me in order that I might be a blessing to others. Lord, I pray that you would help us. Help us have that mindset that we live as sent people on a mission. Not forcing conversations, but just looking for those things that you are already at work doing in people's lives. Use me this week. In fact, if that's appropriate for you, why don't you just say that right now to the Lord? Lord, use me this week. Use me this week for your glory. And we will be quick to give you all the glory. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.